everyone. You're listening to Women Who Travel, a podcast from Condé Nast Traveler. I'm Meredith Carey, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Lolly Arakoglu.
Hello.
Vacation and flying to get to vacation are some of the best times to read, and so this episode, we are giving you a rundown of the best books we read in 2019, written by women, of course, to give you a bit of inspiration on what to pick up before your next trip. As is tradition on our book theme podcasts, of which I think this is number four, we are joined by Riverhead Books' associate publisher, Jin Dilling Martin, who has previously suggested that you pack the 1,224-page The Tale of Genji. Cannot wait to hear what you brought us this time, Jin.
You know, I bring authenticity is what I bring. I bring true recommendations from the heart.
And luggage fees.
Yes, that is for the Kindle. And joining us for the first time is Lisa Lucas, Executive Director of the National Book Foundation. Since you are our latest rookie, Lisa, do you want to start with one of your favorite books from this year?
God, it was a good year. It was a really, really good year. Well, this was a late one. I always say her name incorrectly, so I'm going to try. But Virginie Despentes, I think, who wrote a book called Vernon Supertext 1. It's part of a trilogy. I think it's been released in French. And FSG put it out this year. And it was just like the most extraordinary read. And I was really excited because I was reading it in Paris.
Oh my gosh, like perfect confluence.
I felt really cute. And it hadn't come out here yet, but I like found it online from a UK online seller.
Set the scene. Are you like at a cafe?
I was like having like a cafe creme. Everybody was really good looking. Well, actually, all of the women were really good looking. All of the men were sort of schlubby French men. I don't know.
They're okay. Well, when you think of famous French men, you know, I think the standards have been set slightly differently from famous French women.
Not so. So I was like wandering around Paris for the few days that I was there and I was reading this book. And I feel like people kept being like, oh, that's so good. That's such a good book. And they were making it into a film. And it was just, but this book was incredible. It was like kind of about this guy who used to own a record shop who was probably very attractive and had lots and lots of girlfriends and never really settled down. And he's like this 45-year-old aging hipster whose record store has closed down. And he's like kind of confronting middle age. And this group of friends that he has known for all of these years are all sort of moving on into their lives, and they're having children, or they're having, like, you know, loneliness, or they're having trouble, and one of their friends has died. And it's just sort of like this incredible exploration of what happens after being, like, a hip young person if you don't really get it together.
So it's like a trilogy, not in, like, a sci-fi fantasy trilogy way. It's a trilogy in, like, a Ferrante series kind of.
Right, or like a Durrell, like, you know, like the quartet.
Yes.
Right? Like, it should have been four, because I feel like quartets are more escalated. Ooh. Elevated.
It's true. Right? Dance to the music of time.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I haven't read the other two because they haven't been translated, and my French reading skills are poor. But it was just so good. And it also manages to be fun while saying something. I mean, I'm on the cusp of 40. I have, like, a week left. But it was, like, really, I think, a good time in my life to read it. And then she's also, like, she's, like, this hard, like, her picture, she's just, like, smoking a cigarette. And she's, you know, got this grimace on her face. And she's just, you know, I mean, she's written, you know, she's this, like, incredible feminist French writer. And she just does not care.
Yeah, what's her story for people who might not be familiar with her as an author? And
I mean, I don't know an enormous about her other than she's not shy. And so she will often write things that, I suppose, over time, you would not expect a woman to write. I think now that's loosening up, and so it's like she's just an awesome writer, right? But she's pretty bold. I think she can be a touch vulgar, and she just doesn't really take any prisoners. But I don't know a ton about her, other than somebody recommended this book to me, and I picked it up, and I was like, this is amazing. The Feminist Press was her publisher in the U.S. for a long time, so she's always been kind of indie and edgy. This is, I think, like a more mainstream push because that book did so well. Like, I think they're making it into a big French series, but it's great, and it's, like, also just good fun.
So you can find a link to this book and every other book that is mentioned in this episode in the show notes, so be sure to check those out if you want to pick any up. Jin, what is your first pick?
Okay, so for my first pick, I'm going to do my favorite book that I read this year, and I just read it on my travels in Southeast Asia, and I was in Laos and Cambodia, and I share this only to say this is how committed I was to continuing to read this book, because it's a big hardcover, and not as bad as the other ones. I know, you guys, but normally I bring paperbacks on, like, backpacking-style trips, but I was so hooked on this, and I carried it all around with me. It is called The Yellow House, by a woman, Sarah Broom, and it actually won the National Book Award for Nonfiction this year. Yes. which is why I picked it up. It won right before I was leaving for the trip. And I was like, crap, I need to check this out. It has won so many prizes, gotten so many great reviews. I want to see what this is all about. And from page one, I was just so pulled into the story. I'm not normally a big nonfiction reader either. So I say this is a book, if you need to get a gift or take a book on a trip, for anyone who even loves novels and mostly reads fiction, it reads like that because it's this woman's family history and personal story. But she tells it in a way about her family and her family's history in New Orleans that ends up being one of those books that pulls in history and culture and politics and class and economic systems. And you learn so much, but just starting with her personal story. And she's from a part of New Orleans that for years didn't even have an official, like, area name to it. And she has this amazing line on one of the first pages that namelessness is itself a form of naming. Whew. And she's basically writing in a history that has not been told and stories and people that haven't been part of the narrative that we've received. And she is just her writing is on fire. So I'm very strict about weight. Like, I only bring even two pairs of underwear on these kinds of backpacking trips. Like, my poor partner, I make him eliminate so many different things from the bag. I pack so strictly, but this was absolutely worth lugging around. Like, it just is a fantastic read.
And so it's centered around New Orleans then?
Yes, yeah, it's fully set there, and her family's history there all the way back generations.
So. And so you chose to read a book about New Orleans, backpacking in Southeast Asia.
I know I usually do thematic, but I felt like they're both hot. They're steamy.
They're a very similar climate, yes.
Would you recommend someone who's going to New Orleans to read it?
Oh, it is mandatory to read it if you're going to. It's not even, you should, no one should be allowed off the plane.
I don't think you should be able to go to New Orleans without reading it.
A gate check, a security check, they should have a little quiz. And if you can't get three questions right about the Yellow House, you're not allowed into New Orleans.
It's like showing a passport, but you have to show a copy of the book to get in.
Yes.
It's kind of like Jamaica Kincaid's A Small Place. You're not allowed to go. Mm-mm. Allowed to go.
No.
Unless you've read it.
Mandatory.
So, Lisa, you almost jumped out of your chair when you heard the name of this book.
Oh my gosh. Sarah Broom is incredible. She's like a poet. It's like this big, beautiful, thoughtful, cultural and political history of a city that's told through this family's house and stories of acquisition and loss of wealth and standing for this whole thing. But it's a poem. It's like her language is so gorgeous. It's just like, I was like, I never underline books. I never underline books because it makes me so mad. I'm like, and then 10 years later, you're like, why did I underline that stupid thing? Idiot.
That's always embarrassing.
But it's like, I could not stop myself from writing in the margins and underlining because it was just so it wasn't trying to be pithy, but it was. She's a beautiful writer. It was like, and it's a debut book, which is
she spent something 10 years working on this book. This is one of those life project books.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows.
Incredible, though. It's such a, when she won, you fall in love with every single book that's nominated, right? So you want them all to win. But it was still yes. Yeah.
Meredith, I thought maybe you would have read it. You're always up on these things.
Very much like a Meredith book.
I was just in New Orleans, so now I feel really horrible.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yes, I was just there, and now I know that I need to read it.
It'll be that much more meaningful now when you read it.
I love it. Do you feel like now you have to plan a trip to New Orleans? Or you've basically just gone back from a crazy amount of travel, so you
I've
might want to just hang out
I've just gone back from travel. Also, as you guys know, I like cold places, and I don't normally go to hot places. So I've done one hot place.
Really?
Yes, Lisa.
Why?
I know. I love the cold.
Antarctic explorer.
Not I. I am not down with this.
But yeah, maybe it'll be my hot place of 2020. I can only do one a year.
We had Blair Braverman, who is an amazing adventurer, dog musher, writer, author, wears many, many hats. We've had her on the podcast, and she wrote an essay for us a few years ago about an experience she had traveling to an incredibly hot country as someone who thrives in the cold. And she wrote so beautifully about that experience. And the thing that really struck me was how she described how when you're in an ice, freezing cold place, and she spends a lot of time in Alaska and stuff like that, it's empty. There's vast emptiness in that space. Whereas when you go to a hot place, it's the air is like a buzz. Like, it's very full. Like, everything is full and alive. And that was the thing that she really struggled with. Would you agree? You look like you agree.
Oh my God. My joke the whole time is that there's a biodiversity problem in Laos. There are way too many animals. I saw snakes. That's like a red line for me, snakes.
I hate snakes, but I hate the cold more. I do not like to be cold. Let me tell you all what. That's not for me. Nope.
You're like, I'll take a snake.
That's New York, really I'm like, every day,
that's a good
I'm
quiz,
like,
though. Snakes are cold. That clearly divides people. You guys?
I'd rather have snakes Lolly? On the plane than cold
snakes
on the plane.
Snakes are cold.
Snakes.
Yeah, I think I'm snakes as well.
What?
Yeah, because the cold is horrible, Jen.
Because the snakes aren't all poisonous.
Oh my God, you
cold
guys.
Cold will kill you.
Oh. Actually, it will. That's true. Yeah. You know what? Poisonous, non-poisonous, facts. Cold will just take you out.
Lolly, what's your first pick?
So I'm going to talk about a book called Severance by Ling Ma, which I read a few months ago and cannot stop thinking about. I feel like it got a bit of buzz when it came out. I think it came out in hardcover last year and then was softcover this year. This was her first book. And it's sort of being hailed as sort of the first, like, millennial novel. And it's sort of set in this slightly post-apocalyptic New York where everyone in America, but sort of you assume the rest of the world, has been struck down by this flu. And people have been rapidly dying and the population drops. And the central character is a young woman who works in New York City. And she keeps going to work and she ends up being the last person in her office.
Yeah. And she works for this like global conglomerate and she can't reach her colleagues and it's like all and her boyfriend is terrible.
Oh, so terrible, and we've all met him.
I haven't finished it. I've actually read half of that book and I'm taking the other half. This is my holiday reading. It's so good.
I could not put it down. And I mean, I think if like you live in New York, there are descriptions of New York and also like a specific time in Brooklyn that like will really resonate with people. But if you haven't lived in New York, if you've never been to New York, I think there is so much that you will find in that book to relate to. And also it is a story as much about immigration as it is about like urban life and work life. And oh God, you could just pick so much apart.
And the destruction of the planet.
And you know, the end of the world. I could not put it down. It was great. And I was depressed, but not too depressed.
Okay, great.
And you read it at the beach?
No, I read it. Where did I read it?
By a pool, always.
No, this one was not by a pool. This one was in my own home.
You can usually
everyone alive and well
I read the
around
first
me.
Half by a pool.
You can usually count on all the suggestions being read.
Oh, I've got some others I read by a pool that's on my list, which are definitely not your classic pool reading.
My first suggestion is a book that I did not read by a pool. I finished it in part on Lolly and Megan and my trip to Portland. Usually our women who travel trips to go to meetups and live podcasts are super packed, but this year we had this absolutely incredible Airbnb. You can find it on the site and we'll link it in the show notes too, but it was so stunning. And it had this record player, and as much as we could, we just sat in silence in this Airbnb together, and it was so lovely, and it gave me the time to finish The Library Book by Susan Orlean, which I had been reading on the subway, which is not the time, like a fragmented reading of this book will get you nowhere, and so it took me a couple times to start it, to actually get into it. But it's about this library fire in LA in 1986. And if you've ever listened to the book episodes of this podcast, you will know that I read a book about jellyfish a couple years ago that I still love so much called Spineless, because it was about so many things other than jellyfish and was just a really wonderful, interesting nonfiction. And this had a very similar vibe in that it was about crime and arson and fires and also the history of libraries and books in general. And it was like super detailed and nitty gritty, but also felt like there were enough people in it that you actually enjoyed reading it. And I loved it. Mm. And it was just, I have this like very distinct memory of listening to Emmylou Harris in our Airbnb and finishing the book.
Yeah, I discovered, which shouldn't be a surprise because as everyone who listens to this podcast knows, Meredith is from Texas. And revealed her extensive country music knowledge to me and gave me a short education in our Airbnb.
She had the Airbnb host had all of these crates of records, and there were two huge country record boxes. Whoa. And I was like, whoa, I'm in heaven.
I also just want to say shout out to that Airbnb host who re-rocked up with our little wheelie suitcases to check in. And she had literally broken up with her boyfriend the day before, and he had moved out that day. And we were on the doorstep being like, we're so excited to come to Portland. Where should we eat?
But props to her. She was handling it as well as to be expected.
She was an amazing host.
Yes, and to her friend who hosted her in the meantime so she could get a break. You also deserve props. Lisa, we're going to head back to you.
Yeah. You know, I feel like this book has gotten so much love, but I was reading it on a good trip. Sally Rooney's Normal People. So everybody was freaking out about it, right? And I was sort of like, my instinct when people are freaking out about books is to be like, whatever. I'm going to hate read it just so I know what everybody's talking about. And I really, really liked that book. I was like, I was in Bali. And I was like sitting by a pool and I was very happy. And it was like just kind of perfect vacation read. I thought, you know, and it was smart. I think she's quite smart. But again, it's like it's really hard, I think, to push past the hype machine sometimes when things are just getting so much love and then you get the pushback and it's like, is this person any good? And then the person's 4 years old and you're like, you know, I don't know. I'm almost 40. Do I even believe that this is something realistically good? You know, and I actually just, I thought it was actually very exciting. I'd read Conversations with Friends, which I thought was fine. You know, it's not my recommendation of the thing to read this year. And I, like, really loved Normal People. I thought it was smart about relationships. I thought it was smart about power and the dynamics between men and women when they're coming of age in a way that, like, I was sad to see such a young woman writing about the same things that I might have remembered when I was young and in college. I don't know. I saw something of the world that I inhabit inside of these Irish people's lives, which I thought was like a job well done, given that I'm a black woman living in New York and I'm way older.
Was Normal People on a previous episode?
It was back in June.
Yeah, because I read it after.
Yeah, Lolly and I were on Team Rooney.
Because so there was a lot of shouting that happened.
I'm super, super, super into her. I think she's smart. You know, and the thing about her is like, right, I don't know if Normal People or Conversations with Friends are the best books ever, but I think that young woman has a lot more to say and is clearly like actually a proper writer and not a person with a properly good idea that turned into a book. And so I like am super excited about reading whatever she's writing in 15 years because I think that that's going to be like, you know, not just the origin point, but like the sort of mature, you know, view of the world that I think is pretty valuable. But I thought it was like also just like fast and readable and like the kind of thing that like is not too heavy when you carry it in your bag. Like, and I just felt like it was like, it was kind of like, it was a little too hot on my trip, which is not a thing that I usually say. And it was just sort of these like lazy kind of lethargic days. And it was just kind of like the perfect thing to just be like, I don't want to move. I just want to read.
And you can really like, you can move through that book so at such a fast pace that it maybe feels like the things around you are moving a little faster than they probably
were.
Yeah,
and I'm always like, a sign of a good book for me is something that I like want to throw across the room because I'm angry at something that somebody did. Like, and it definitely gave me those vibes, which apparently I like to feel rage when I'm reading. Like, it's like TV shows when you have to just pause them. You're like, I cannot.
I need to walk away.
I need to walk away. I can't believe this person's about to do something that's stressing me all the way out, or this is horrible, or how terrible. You know, it's like whenever you get that with a book, I feel like Days of Abandonment was the best one ever for throwing it across the room because you just like cannot believe what just happened. Have you read that?
Yes, yeah. But the only book I've ever thrown was A Little Life, which is a bad one to throw. I could have like killed my cat.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it was a dangerous book to throw because the consequences could have been pet fatal.
Yeah. I did not expect to recommend Sally Rooney, by the way, but it's like I just kept thinking about the trip and that reading experience and it was very good. There were so many great books this year and I feel like people have given her so much play that it's like I'm sorry to use, you know, yet another moment to...
It's another reason
but
to read the
book.
But I
just was really into it, so...
And I agree that Normal People, I prefer to Conversation with Friends, which I was sort of relieved by because I was like, oh, okay, so this is her second book, so hopefully this means that her third one will be even more interesting.
Right. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Lale Arakoglu, host of Women Who Travel. Each story from our guests and listeners is totally unique and utterly personal. We love hearing about your first impressions when visiting someplace new.
My first trip to the Patagonia region was on the Argentine side. I couldn't believe the expansive territory. It's like being in Tibet. The emptiness and the harshness really, I found transformative.
Or a story told when safely back on dry land.
You know, things happened every single day. I ran out of gas on a jet ski in the middle of the ocean. And I was like, what if a sea creature comes to eat me? But then I'm delusional. I was like, I'll make friends with it and it won't eat me. And maybe I'll ride that back to shore.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Join me, Lale Arakoglu, every week for more adventures on Women Who Travel, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Jen, how about you?
Well, let us return to cold places, everyone, so that I can feel in my safe space again. Mm-hmm. So I am just freshly back from Stockholm, where I had the experience of a lifetime, which was attending the Nobel Prizes. This was like just the most nuts thing that has ever happened in my life. And it's because our writer, Olga Tokarczuk, won the Nobel Prize in Literature. And yeah, it
so
was,
amazing.
I was telling these guys, Nordic rich is different rich. They are rich in a way that I had never been up close to before. And it's you know, it's like out of an Ingmar Bergman film. It's like understated, restrained, but like everything is made of a really nice satin or velvet and swishes very quietly. And there's a lot of like thick carpeting. It's like that, you know. But so I just wanted for people, we've gotten a lot of questions of like where to start with Olga Tokarczuk's work because it's intimidating. Every single book is so different than every other book and it's like hard to find a way in. So my favorite is the shortest one. So it's easier than the things I'm usually on here recommending. It's called Drive Your Plow Over the Bones of the Dead. It's her murder mystery, but it goes where no murder mystery has ever gone before. It has like astrology and star charts and William Blake and a dead neighbor named Bigfoot and this nutty detective slash heroine who's this old woman living alone in a cabin in the woods of Poland who goes on to like investigate what she perceives to be crimes happening in her woods. And it is so funny. I mean, I dare you to read this and not just be cracking up on every couple pages. It's such a fun book.
This is the book I was teasing.
We both were like, we know Jen will bring this, yeah. So we don't even need to say it.
Also, thank you for a second National Book Awards title, because it was longlisted for translated literature, and I'm also taking that one with me. Two books mentioned that I'm taking with me for vacation.
What can I say, Lisa? Your judges have great taste.
And so. That is a book I read by a pool.
But so do you agree? Now I'm nervous.
I know, I do agree. Okay. I absolutely loved it. I mean, I will say, I think the first 50 pages, I was like, I sort of have no idea what I'm reading.
Yes.
Like, what is this book? Who is this woman who lives alone in the cabin that I identify with more than I think I expected to? I absolutely loved it.
Pro tips from the heroine of this novel, like, always have on clean underwear in case you end up being found dead in your cabin and you don't want someone finding you not in clean underwear.
Yeah.
Like, let's face it, everyone.
No.
You don't want anyone having to, like,
I don't even really want to live in not clean underwear is the thing. No. Like, everybody always says that, like, make sure you have on clean underpants. And I'm like, I don't know. I try to just, like, keep it tidy, like, all the time.
Yeah, sorry. It's like, who's got the dirty ones on?
You know, like, it's like, is there something I don't know about?
Day-to-day life
about
in underwear.
The way they
There's
were rocking
good life
it.
Advice in this novel. That's all. We'll just say that.
It's like, do other people only have two pairs?
No, so Lale was reading it by the pool at the same time. I was in the desert in Namibia also reading this book. It is such a delight. And it's just like you're in her brain and it's a really weird place.
It is a weird brain.
It is a weird brain, but it's so fascinating. And then you get sucked in and you're like, well, I physically cannot stop reading because I have to find out what the frick is going on.
Yeah. Oh, this makes me so happy, you guys. I'm so glad to hear this.
She's the best. She's also extremely stylish.
Oh.
Just like to say that she rolled up. She like rocked up at the National Book Awards last year because she was also a finalist. And I was like, excuse me, Olga. And then she won the Nobel, but I called it. I called that she was going to win the Nobel. Literally my office. I walked into every single person in my office. It's like, tomorrow when Olga wins, I would like you to acknowledge that I said it first.
She is the progressive socialist feminist Nobel winner that the world needed.
Flights is amazing too. It's so longer, but Flights is great.
I wanted to ask about Flights because Bones of the Dead was the first book by her that I had read. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering what I should go to next. And obviously Flights is the one that I know of the most, but is that the next one I should go to?
Yeah, so try Flights next. It's more a assemblage of writing that she resists even calling fiction or nonfiction. So it is diaristic, it's associative, it's eccentric. And what's kind of nice is it almost is like short stories. You could hop around, you could read different individual pieces. There's a two-pager in the middle that's just about language that is so spectacular. It's one of my favorite two pages in any book we've ever published. And it's her in Polish, obviously it's been translated, but writing about how sorry she feels for people who, for whom English is their first language, because they're stuck speaking such a public language and they have no private language of their own to switch back into that most of the world doesn't know. And it's so, it's her, again, it's her brain. It's like funny and sharp and acerbic and well observed. And
I love that you can dip in and out of that book.
Yeah. So yeah. Hop around in it. See what
I'm
going
to be thinking about that language thing for a while.
Yeah.
It feels like a good actual flight book because then you're never, like, you can just move around and you aren't like, oh, I'm getting tired of this thing. I'm going to watch TV just because I'm going to watch TV.
And it is ostensibly just generally about being in transit and between borders and boundaries or what those even mean. So it is, it's a very good one to read on a plane because you're like, yeah, where am I?
So after I read Drive Your Plow or The Bones of the Dead, I read Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine, which was published in 2017, which is also a kind of like unreliable narrator. You're in someone's brain. Nothing is as it seems. And I would say that's kind of like my perfect beach read for this past year because it's interesting and fascinating and fast. And it's also going to be made into a movie produced by Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, nice.
Of course.
Nice.
And I feel like because it is about this woman who is very socially inept, who meets someone at work who kind of opens her eyes to the world around her and the situation she's just been like perfectly complacent in and completely fine in for years, it was really interesting to see her discover London, where she lives, as she like expands her horizons and her borders of what she does in her life. And it made me be like, I should explore New York. Like, what am I missing by not taking the bus?
Well, I think that talking about that sort of that narrator who like doesn't quite see things the way that you do or that you
everyone
think,
else in the book sees
yeah.
them.
And I definitely felt the same thing with Bones of the Dead. And at the beginning, I almost found myself getting quite frustrated with her because I was just like, well, why can't you just like see things this way? And then I was like, well, maybe I'm seeing it wrong. And then you realize that everyone else in the book is seeing it the wrong way. Oh, God, I loved it.
It's fascinating. And I feel like I came to work and was just like second guessing everything that I was doing because I'm like, I'm too stuck in these two books with these ladies who are like fully losing their minds. Amazing.
Or are you losing
it? I mean, well, exactly. I felt like it, really. Lale, now that Jin has offered Olga up, what is your next suggestion?
I am going to, partly because I'm interested to hear what everyone at this table thought of it, because it was such a big book of the summer, which is Fleischman is in Trouble by Taffy Brodessa Akner. I know both me and Meredith kind of flew through it in the summer right when it came out. I was wondering if the two of you had read it.
I have not read it. And I love Taffy's profiles for the Times Magazine so much. She is just the dream journalist and dream profiler. And so I've been meaning to read this. And I have to admit, I've not gotten to it yet.
And I definitely will. She was long listed. Again, I'm loving these selections because they're all long listed for the National Book Award. But she was long listed for the National Book Award. A lot of people in my office have read it. Everybody has just thought it was such an interesting book about divorce and about, you know, men and women and where we are right now. And she's so funny and generous and interesting. It's like, again, on my list of, I've given that book so many times already just because it's like, I'm kind of like, I know that people are going to be like, this is both smart and really fun, but I have to read it still. We get 50 books all at one time.
Well, I think that this kind of falls into that like hype machine that you were talking about. Where like a book is everywhere, especially in New York. And then I have friends who are like, I'm not reading it because everyone else has already read it and the conversation is over. And I'm like, no, you have to read this book.
Like, that's not how books work.
Exactly. You don't have to read them the moment they come out. You can read them thousands of years later.
Yeah, they don't go bad is the thing. I mean, unless they're written by a man in 1965. Then sometimes they do.
That is the most amazing thing anyone has ever said on this podcast.
Unfair, very fair.
I really liked it. When you said it was really interesting, I think that's super true. It is a book about a man and then later a woman who are going through a divorce / midlife crisis, just like general unnerving time in their lives. And as somebody who has tons of friends who are getting married and also friends who are getting divorced and am just kind of like on the outside of that thing, it was fascinating to me to be inside this like very toxic, bizarre relationship.
And like, bring me all your middle age woes. I just want to read them all.
I'm like, I want to be prepared.
Yeah, right? I'm here.
It did very much feel like I am also at the point in my life where my friends are getting married. I've gotten married. And now the really scary part is that some friends are starting to have kids. And it felt like this sort of terrifying look forward into like, this is where you're all going to be in 10 years time. And like, buckle up. Because it's going to be a ride.
It's not not true.
And I think one of the things that really struck me, and I think it was probably because it tapped into my own personal anxieties, was everything that comes with having children, and especially for women. And I think one of the things that I'm very scared about is losing my sense of self and becoming somewhat invisible. And I think that book explores it a lot in the latter half. And I did sort of close it. I remember finishing reading it at sort of like midnight. And I just closed it and looked around and I was like, I need to talk to someone about this book. And there's no one around to talk to about it. Like, what do I do? And then I just lay in the dark with my eyes open. No.
But I think it's another, there's the last bit of the book. I don't want to give too much away, but the last bit of the book has kind of a similar sort of feeling to Olga's book, because you are like, feeling, because of the writing style, exactly what the narrator of that section is feeling, and you feel a little loopy. And I had the same thing. I ended it and was like, my heart is beating so fast and I don't know what to do.
Ugh, now I can't wait to read it.
Delightful. It wasn't necessarily a good feeling, but it was
I like feeling things. It's like, I don't even need it to be like the best feeling in the world. I just like, that is what I like from a book, to feel something, like to be like, because that's what the books you remember, right? Like the things that stay with you, that like kind of like, you know, implant in your brain, are the ones that made you feel something meaningful or different.
Exactly. And it's sort of like the last thing you want to do. If you closed every book and just thought, well, that's nice, and then just put it back on the shelf, you wouldn't get anywhere.
The one group of people that I would not recommend reading that specific book on vacation is honeymooners, because our boss, Stephanie Wu, read it like shortly after she had gotten married and was like, this is super depressing. So I would, yeah, just give yourself like a little time to like,
you just annul at that point.
What are we doing?
Get in the groove of your marriage.
I'm so sorry. I've made a terrible mistake. Please enjoy the vacation and read this book to understand why I've done what I've done. Goodbye.
Is there anything else you guys like super, super, super want to scream out about?
Super fast, Julia Phillips disappearing Earth.
Okay, great.
Which was just...
I have seen people tweeting about that and sharing it on their year-end roundups.
Agreed, it's on my
holiday
pile.
I mean, you know, you get a book and, you know, it's like about a remote part of Russia and the people that live there. And you're like, okay, you know, welcome to the National Book Awards family. And then, you know, you pick it up because you're kind of like, this seems like the outlier in my interests. Mm-hmm. And I swear to God, I did not put it down until I was done. I mean, she's such a beautiful writer, and it's such a fascinating tale. Mm-hmm. And it's just sort of all of these different people. And it revolves around the kidnapping of these two girls, but it's like really not about the kidnapping of these two girls. It's about a place. And it's about
a cold place.
A very cold place that I am
That's
unlikely
why it's
to
on
visit.
My winter pile.
So no, this is why I liked it, because I never have to go there and be freezing cold. but I feel that I've been there because Julia Phillips is such a stunning writer. But it's sort of vignette-y, but beautiful. I mean, it's like, I highly recommend it. It was not the most come hither book to me when I picked it up and was just like, oh. And then it was absolutely just blown away.
See, I have the opposite feeling about that book. When we were in Powell's in Portland, I saw it on the kind of like display, and it's a pink and blue and white mountain scene on the cover, and I was like, what is this book? And I haven't read it yet, but I immediately put it on my Goodreads because I was like, this is something about this is calling to me.
I just don't love purple. I mean, it might have really been like a color issue that I was like, this is not in a mountain. I was just sort of like, I don't know, this looks like it's like gonna be like a, I don't know what it was. There was no reason for me to react the way that I did, but it was stunning and I was wrong. Don't judge a book by its cover.
Or do.
Can I recommend a book coming up in 2020?
Yes.
Please.
Oh my God. So we have this debut novel coming in April called How Much of These Hills is Gold by this young woman, C. Pam Zhang. And it is such a stunner, and everyone should go Goodreads, add to shelf it. It is a story of two siblings on the run. I always love survival narratives. Like, first of all, that's always like my wheelhouse. So they're on the run in the deserts of California, but it's set during the 1800s gold rush, and their family had come over as immigrants to work in the mines, and they end up being orphaned and left. And there's like tigers and dead bodies and like crazy sex and like a weird time of America, but told in a direction that you've never read it before.
So it's sounding very similar to Inland, which you recommended on the last book's episode.
I know. It's totally different than that. But it's interesting that different women writers now are sort of reclaiming the idea of the American West as their territory to write about, which I think is something we're seeing in a larger way. But this space that normally was just like cowboys and Indians and white men riding around on horses. And, you know, now we're getting this like, guess what? There had to be other people there. Who were those people and what was going on with them? And we're starting to get stories filling in that space.
Lisa, what would be your 2020 pick?
I loved Homegoing by Jesse, which was just like this stunning linked story collection / novel about sort of these twin histories of American slaves and folks in Ghana. And it was beautiful. And I will read anything that she writes. And she's got a novel coming up this summer. And I think that that's probably going to be one of the most exciting things that I'll read. And I have not yet read. But I will like follow her where she walks.
Absolutely.
Like, that was just like also a stunning debut. But sometimes a debut feels like it might just be the one thing. That book didn't feel like the one thing. There was a passing narrative in Homegoing that was like, I think, the best writing about somebody trying to pass for white and the complications of sort of relationships with your people that I had ever read or ever seen, like Imitation of Life or reading Passing, the Nell Larson book. There's a lot of writing. And I think that this, you know, again, young writer, first time, did the best work in that space that I had ever read. And so, again, I will follow her, you know, and I will read all that she writes before she's done with it all.
Homegoing was amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. And the new one's called, what is it called? Transcendent Kingdom.
That's right. Perfect. Pre-order link will be in the show notes, as will be your social media handles. Where can people find you on the internet, Lisa?
Lika Luca, LIKALUCA. Twitter is where I usually live. Or National Book, @National Book. Those are the two places where I might exist a little bit on the internet.
And Jin, people want to follow your insane adventures?
It is Jin with 4 N's on Twitter and 3 N's on Instagram. And I've never met another Jin with JYNNE, and yet they have schnored all of the social handles before I could get there. It's really...
I love the number of N's in your Instagram handle.
Thanks. I always forget how many there are in the different ones.
Catch people out. And I'm at Lale Hannah on Instagram.
I'm at Oh Hey There Mare. Thanks everyone for joining us. You can find more book suggestions along with some incredible stories on womenwhotravel.com. Follow us on Instagram also @womenwhotravel, and be sure to sign up for the newsletter to keep up to date with our live episodes, meetups, and trips. That link will be in the show notes too. So much in the show notes today. Lastly, you can listen to new episodes of Women Who Travel every Tuesday. We will talk to you next week.
Hi, I'm Lale Arakoglu, host of Women Who Travel. Each story from our guests and listeners is totally unique and utterly personal. We love hearing about your first impressions when visiting someplace new.
My first trip to the Patagonia region was on the Argentine side. I couldn't believe the expansive territory. It's like being in Tibet. The emptiness and the harshness really, I found transformative.
Or a story told when safely back on dry land.
You know, things happened every single day. I ran out of gas on a jet ski in the middle of the ocean. And I was like, what if a sea creature comes to eat me? But then I'm delusional. I was like, I'll make friends with it and it won't eat me. And maybe I'll ride that back to shore.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Join me, Lale Arakoglu, every week for more adventures on Women Who Travel, wherever you listen to your podcasts.